of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Power. Most of us are quite deliberate about denying we want it. Most of us suggest that it's not part of the temptations we have in life. But the truth is that at some degree, if power was defined as getting what we want, when we want, how we want it, and I asked each and every one of you to put your hand on a Bible and swear you've never thought about it, not once, ever in your whole life. How we make decisions about what is healthy and good and right is extremely complicated because it's based on our family of origin. It's based on our experience. And it's based on a set of morals, ethics, and values that we operate with every single day. It's tough stuff to talk about. When it comes to our relationships, I want our children, and I believe you want your children, to succeed. You want them to have healthy, happy, fulfilling lives. And if they would just do what I tell them. Ready for your hand on a Bible? It's hard to step back. The hardest part is we want to protect them from harm. We want to protect them from hurt. And so we come to the conclusion that although we don't want any power, it'd be okay if we had power over them. And then it comes to our spouses. For those of you who are married, one of the great challenges is that you actually have to live with that person. And then you have to put your hand on a Bible and say, oh, this is great. But it's not always great. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard work. If it wasn't hard work, effort, and intentional, we wouldn't have made it a holy covenant. There's huge challenges. And sometimes it's unhealthy to stay. Temptations come, I believe, when we are at our most vulnerable. We're exhausted. We're hungry. We're feeling empty. There's a deep and profound sense that the grass is greener on the other side. And if people would just do what we told them to do, no power, of course, things would be better. In the meantime, how are we doing with our own life? I don't know how God has this marvelous sense of humor, but every once in a while, when I'm pretty sure I'm right, I step out the front door of our house and fall flat on my face on the ice. Recent experience. It reminds me that I should be a little more worried about what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking about, before I fix anybody else. Is any of this relevant yet? Okay, then. Let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about the gospel. Jesus has the highest moment of his life in his baptism. This is the peak experience of his life. He's on cloud 9. And he has the potential to go higher. And then something happens. Some would say that the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, that there was an immense force that drove him into a challenging time. He arrives in the desert. Now, let's be clear. We're not talking Arizona. We're not talking Florida. We're talking barren, hot, sweaty, hungry, paralyzing experience. And there he is. I imagine the first couple days weren't too bad. I'm sure he didn't want to stay, but he knew he was there for a purpose. And then the devil came and challenged him about power. Power over his own needs, physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, and power over the rest of the world. And there was temptation after temptation after temptation, and at 40 days, Jesus had not eaten and had not slept. He's wiped out, physically, emotionally, psychologically, and the tests come at his most vulnerable moment, and he resists, not because he's human, but because he is also divine, and that he had a power within him to remember the words of God that directed his decision. It's why it's good for us to read, memorize, and inwardly digest those sections of Scripture that speak to our journey. And at the end, the angels came to minister to him, to restore his body, so that he could go into ministry. For those who choose the path towards ordination, we send them to a place called, let me see if I can get this right, seminary. What you don't know is this. It better be pretty, because it's spiritual boot camp, and you're about to meet a sergeant that you couldn't even imagine. Now, it is a community that is surrounded in people that love and support and encourage each other. But it is there to test in every single way what the temptations of life may be for that individual. And then an opportunity to help them grow and to learn and to develop new insights about their prayer life, about their worship life, and how to serve other people. Some of you would benefit from spiritual boot camp, but that's not the way we do it here. The way we do it here is that we surround you in a group of people that love and respect and encourage you, and then we very gently invite you to grow, to deal with temptation. I'm scanning the audience for children. Okay. Here are the temptations that men are dealing with every single day. Walking out, leaving them behind, quitting the job they hate, stopping at the bar and staying there, and pornography. Here are the temptations that men are facing. Walking away, escaping. Over the years, I've had phone calls from men from airports that are getting on a plane and never coming back. Here are the temptations that women are facing. Oh, Reverend Mary Lynn would be better at outlining those. So let me not even guess. But perhaps a few are the same. What do we do in the middle of the temptations? Stephen, get past the theology and give us some practicality in the midst of what you're saying this morning. First of all, when the temptation comes, you need to be able to stop. Right where you are. Imagine that you are at a stoplight and you've got the green, the yellow, and the red. Green is those signals in your mind that say this is the right thing to say, do, and think. By the way, what the right thing to say? What you know to be true. What you know to be beneficial. What you know to be kind. I remember this conversation at our dinner table when our children were teenagers, and my daughter, who tended to be the most courageous of the four, looked at me and said, if what we say has to be kind and helpful and true, things are going to be pretty quiet around here for a long time. Love that kid. By the way, she's got the identical personality to her mother. Strong-willed, independent, and faithful. Where do you go from here? Stop. Have the image of that stop sign in your head. Know when the red signal is there to stop and to go no further. Know when the green signal is there that you know it is safe and healthy to proceed. And when you hit the yellow light in your life, and you know that caution is prudent, play it safe. This is not the moment to zoom through the experience. It is the moment to stop and to pray, to think, and maybe even to wait. When you are tested, we can follow the examples of Jesus to simply be able to say, it is not right to test God. It is not right to always choose being right, but rather to deeply and profoundly consider the needs and desires of others. And there are moments where we simply have to stop whatever we're in the middle of doing and to repent and to begin again. Here's the good news of Jesus Christ, and this is the very end, I promise. Here it is. The good news of Jesus Christ is through repentance and reconciliation, there is always a second chance and a new beginning. May we embrace the gospel today. Amen.